Wisconsin's fall primary is less than 2 weeks away. August 12th. That's really early. So we're talking about the various races around the state. We'll kind of do a round robin with Wisconsin Public Radio reporters who are covering all of these primary elections and also conducting campaign forums, political forums around the state as well. The Joy Cardine Show, of course, will be taking a look at a number of these races in detail and having candidates on between now and the 12th. We'll start our primary election roundup right in Madison, where Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, is located. Sean, thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the statewide races. Right at the top of the ticket, we have there's no Republican primary for governor, but there is a Democratic primary, even though most people, I don't think, are even aware that a second person is running on the Democratic ticket.
No, I mean, people aren't paying a lot of attention to politics in general right now, I think. And so, I think people are starting to become aware of Mary Burke, though the recent Marquette poll showed that about 49% of people still didn't know enough about her to have an opinion. And because Brett Halsey is running such a shoestring campaign, he hasn't been able to get his name out there, really. And so people don't really know much about him. And I expect there'll be a lot of people that aren't aware there's a primary here. And, you know, the Government Accountability Board predicts turnout of just 15% for this primary. So if they're right, not a lot of people are going to vote in this election.
So it's more important than ever for each of the candidates to make sure that their supporters show up, because that's actually how elections are won anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, in that regard, Mary Burke has a huge advantage because, you know, she's the endorsed candidate of the Democratic Party. She has that infrastructure behind her. She has her own campaign infrastructure behind her. And that's something that State Representative Brett Halsey really can't rely on. I mean, if you watch Halsey in the field, he is a campaign of one right now. He's tireless. Go out there and shake hands with everybody, hand out his campaign literature. But, he's basically one guy here. And, Mary Burke has the Democratic Party apparatus. And so she's going to be better known going into this race, probably.
And there's no Democratic primary for lieutenant governor. I hope people understand that in Wisconsin we elect the lieutenant governor and the governor separately. But there is a Republican primary, isn't there? Or is there a Democratic primary for lieutenant governor? I always get confused.
Yeah, so there is a Democratic primary for lieutenant governor. Once that primary is finished, then they're on a ticket with the gubernatorial candidate. And so you'd have they'd be on the same party at that point. You wouldn't have a split control.
So who's running?
John Lehman is a Democratic state senator from Racine. Lehman is actually stepping down from the legislature. He's been active in Democratic Party politics for quite a while, was a state representative prior to this, actually lost his state Senate seat, but then came back to run for it in the recall elections against Van Wongard, won a very close race. And then redistricting happened, and there was really no plausible way that John Lehman was going to keep that seat in the Racine seat. So here he is. He's running for lieutenant governor, and he's running against Mary Jo Walters. Mary Jo Walters has been a very vocal protester at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Again, this is somebody who's running a campaign of one. You know, she doesn't have really money or campaign staff to fall back on. She's just somebody you'd see out on the street handing out campaign literature. And so this is a race, an office that's basically whatever you decide it's going to be, because lieutenant governor basically has no assigned responsibilities other than they fill in for the governor should the governor leave office. Mm-hmm. And so Lehman and Walters can kind of make it whatever they want to be. Lehman says, you know, he'll basically be where Mary Burke isn't. He'll advance her policies. Actually, Walters says nice things about Mary Burke too. One of the things that she has pointed out that she would do if she were elected is she would potentially turn the lieutenant governor's office into a child care center for the Capitol. Says she would hire licensed child care workers as part of her small staff. And so definitely a different campaign message there from her.
And, of course, the winner there faces the incumbent Republican Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish.
Yeah, I mean, and they'll be on the platform, though, with whoever the gubernatorial nominee is. So let's say it's Burke Lehman. They would run as a ticket at that point. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have a split control between lieutenant governor and governor.
And in the attorney general's race, there's a Democratic primary there as well.
There's a three-way Democratic primary here, and really I'm surprised that it hasn't. It feels like it's been kind of sleepy in a way. I'm sure the candidates don't feel that way because they've been traveling a lot, being part of a lot of local forums, and just getting to know people and probably county parties all over the state. But this has not been a primary that's particularly entertaining to cover because there hasn't, you know, as far as news goes, there hadn't been a lot of mudslinging going on. Really, they've directed all their attacks to incumbent Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen and Republican candidate Brad Schimmel, who's the Waukesha County D.A. The three Democrats running are Susan Happ, Ishmael Ozan, and John Richards. Happ is a district attorney. She's from Jefferson, Wisconsin. Ozan, the D.A. in Dane County, from Madison. And John Richards, state representative from Milwaukee. So Happ and Richards have, you know, if you just judge the campaign by their bank accounts and what they've been able to raise, they've had the more active campaigns out there. And so that's going to let them reach more people in this race. And Richards is, I think, up on the air with the TV ad, with the amount of money he's been able to raise. You're not going to get a huge buy with that, the kind of money he has, but they're trying to get known. Again, this is going to be a low turnout affair, and so you know, this is not a race like we've seen in previous attorney general primaries where it's really grabbed people's attention.
Mm-hmm. There is a primary in the Republican Party for Secretary of State. The irony there is that the Republicans have seemingly been trying to get rid of that office for some time.
Yeah, we move now into the statewide offices that really don't do anything anymore. And one of those is Secretary of State. It's been held for decades by Democrat Doug La Follette. And La Follette wins every year by comfortable margins, even in that Tea Party wave year of 2010, when every Democrat lost, La Follette won. He has a very helpful last name when it comes to Wisconsin politics. So he's facing off against the winner of the GOP primary. It'll be either Julian Bradley, a young African-American guy from La Crosse, against Gary Bies, state representative from Sister Bay. And you know, it's anyone's guess who's going to win a low turnout primary for a low responsibility office. But if you just judge by what you've seen at, say, the state party convention, Bradley seems to have gotten the base excited. You know, he's, you know, frankly, in a GOP convention, when you're seeing a lot of Caucasian candidates, Julian Bradley sticks out, and he's got a fun personality, and so he's facing Gary Bies, who's been in politics for a long time but hasn't been able to raise a lot of money for this Secretary of State's race. You know, not sure exactly why, but it's got to be an uphill climb for any candidate to raise money for an office that their party wants to eliminate, that has very few employees and does very little.
And by the way, we just got this in. There has been a decision in the voter ID case at the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has upheld Wisconsin's voter ID law, according to the Associated Press, but the law is still blocked due to a federal court ruling. And we'll keep you updated as we get other information on that. You mentioned these statewide races like Secretary of State, not a lot of interest in them. There's also a GOP primary for, and a Democratic primary for, state treasurer.
Yeah, and the state treasurer one is, again, this is something the Republicans want to eliminate. You have Dave Leeper and David Sartori are running for Democrats for this race to fill the seat being vacated by incumbent Kurt Schuller. Among Republicans, it's Matt Adamczyk and Randy Melchert. And in that race, it's a little more clear-cut. Adamczyk wants badly to eliminate this this office and is basically done everything he can to highlight any dime of what he views as government waste. You know, that's a race, though, that based on actions the legislature took this last session, that office has fewer responsibilities than it did only 2 years ago. So, again, another one that probably flying under the radar.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and then Sean, stick around. We'll be joined by Wisconsin Public Radio's Superior Bureau reporter Mike Simonson in just a moment to talk about some races up in the northwestern part of the state, and we're still waiting to hear about several other state Supreme Court decisions, including one on the domestic partner registry and on Wisconsin's Act 10, and we'll pass that information along as we get it. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Wisconsin's primary election is coming up on April 12th. August 12th. April would be really early. August 12th, early enough. That's a very early primary for Wisconsin. And we're talking about some of the races around the state. Sean Johnson is with me, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. And now joining me from the northwestern corner of the state, WPR's Mike Simonson from Superior. Mike, good morning.
There isn't a leaf moving on the trees up here. It's a very quiet morning.
It would be a great morning to be out fishing then. No wind. So some primary elections going on in northwestern Wisconsin. Probably the one that most people would be interested in, I would think, would be 25th State Senate, where longtime officeholder Bob Jauch is retiring, and a couple of Democrats are vying to take over his spot.
Yeah, in fact, three Democrats are vying to take over Bob Jauch's seat. He's been, as you said, longtime incumbent. He's been in office since 1986. And, in fact, this is a heavily Democratic area, and both the 74th Assembly District seat also has been occupied by State Representative Janet Bewley, and she's running for Senator Jauch's seat, so that opens up the Assembly seat. So it's very rare that both of these seats are open. Jauch's been in office since 1986 in the Senate, and so, yeah, we've got three fairly distinct candidates. Janet Bewley, perhaps the most liberal. She's been got a reputation in the state assembly for speaking out for the causes of the North, the causes of rural areas. The mayor of Park Falls, Tom Ratzlaff, is also running, and he's more middle of the road. And then the third Democrat, Gary Cawther of Poplar, who is virtually a neighbor of Bob Jauch's, is pretty much in the debate we had spewed Republican talking points, so the choices are fairly clear. It's expected that Janet Bewley will have the best organization, have the most money. Cawther is kind of the perennial candidate. He's run in the past against other candidates, including Sean Duffy, as an independent or as a Democrat. So it's between Ratzlaff and Bewley. And Park Falls is in the southernmost part of the district. Bewley's from Ashland. She's from the mining area. So I would say, in that big issue, the mining issue, Ratzlaff says, well, if we can make it work, let's build that mine. We need the jobs. And Bewley says, according to the plan, they can't make it work. It's going to destroy the environment, destroy recreational fishing, destroy the Pinocchio Hills.
And you mentioned 74th State Assembly with Janet Bewley running for the 25th State Senate. That seat opens up. A couple of Democrats running there.
Right. And it's really interesting. Beth Myers of Bayfield and Graham Garfield of Mason. Beth Myers, more seasoned, she's been around. You could call her a community activist. She's had she lives on the Red Cliff Reservation. Her children are members of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. Graham Garfield, he just graduated from UW Superior, where he was student body president, and but he's from Mason, which is also in the county of Bayfield. And the debate was very impressive. They agreed on a whole lot of things, but boy, they were sharp and they were very informed. Everything from a lot, you know, the needs of a rural Northwoods area, like the need to get broadband, the need to have tribal relations repaired after all the damage done between the tribes and the DNR over things like the mine or night hunting or the mascot bill. And they're both really well-versed. I heard one reporter say after the debate last week at the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland that whoever doesn't win, that won't be the last we'll hear of that candidate, because they're very well-spoken.
All right, Mike, I know that the audio of that debate is available at WPR.org/Superior, and people can listen to that. It was an interesting debate last week at the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, you betcha, John.
Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Superior. We're going to switch quickly now to Wausau, where our WPR reporter is Glenn Moberg. And he joins us this morning. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So some primaries of interest in the Wausau area for the 7th Congressional District. Talk about those a little bit, please.
Yeah, the 7th Congressional District is a huge sprawling district. Wausau is actually now in the southeast corner of the district, and it stretches all the way up to Superior. Our incumbent Republican, Sean Duffy, is trying to win a third term. And this is a district that was run for more than 40 years by the powerful liberal voice, the Democrat Dave Obey. And Mr. Duffy has been representing it as a conservative Republican, and he has won his general elections handily. Back in 2012, he defeated former television anchorman and State Senator Pat Kreitlow by a 56-44% margin. And in 2010, he defeated State Senator Julie Lassa of Stevens Point by a 52-44% margin. Since then, since 2010, legislative redistricting has chopped Stevens Point off of the 7th District congressional map, and that makes the district more Republican, making it more likely that Duffy or any Republican will prevail in the November election. He does face a primary challenge, however. On August 12th, he faces Don Rahala of Superior, who ran in the 7th District race back in 2010 as a Democrat. When he did that, he pulled in 15% of the primary vote. Rahala, he runs his own real estate company. He's worked as an accountant, a purchasing agent, a landlord, and a construction business owner. And he says he's running against Duffy because he's upset with the nation's debt. He doesn't think Duffy is doing enough on that issue. He's upset that Duffy voted for debt ceiling increases and what he calls unbalanced bills. And let's see if I can get this quote. He says he is not as fiscally conservative as people want him to be.
Hmm. And on the Democratic side, who's running in the 7th?
Well, over on the Democratic side, Kelly Westland has most of the endorsements and the support of party leaders. She served on the Ashland City Council. She's been outspoken in her opposition to the proposed iron mine in the Pinoki Hills, which is just south of Ashland. She's a small business owner. She's worked with the Bayfield Regional Food Producers Cooperative on sustainable agriculture issues, and she supports affordable health care, affordable education, union rights, raising the minimum wage, ending unemployment insurance. She wants rich people to pay more taxes, wants the government to aggressively create jobs, and she opposes cuts in the social safety net. She's also been endorsed by Emily's List, and she has a military background. She grew up in a military family, and she's been holding a series of roundtables in the district with veterans. Now, Westland is facing a primary challenge from Mike Crisine of Holton, way over on the other side of the district, and he ran as an independent back in 2010 against 3rd District Congressman Ron Kine. Now, since then, as I mentioned before, the district has been redrawn, so Crisine is now in the 7th District. He has kind of a libertarian bent to him. He's worked as a design engineer in the aerospace industry. He owns a 26-acre farm where he raises grass-fed beef. He says, and I'm taking this off of his website, he wants to end the cozy relationship between big banks, big corporations, and big government. He wants to dismantle the Federal Reserve and the IRS, decriminalize drugs, stop NSA spying, end illegal immigration. He says no amnesty for the immigrants. He wants to eliminate the Common Core curriculum in education. He wants to stop all foreign aid, and he wants to bring the troops home.
Hmm.
And the big difference between Christine and Westland is on the Pinocchio Hills mine. Christine says he favors it. He says the area is impoverished and they need the jobs.
All right, Glenn, thanks for joining us.
John, can I hit one more item real quick?
About 10 seconds worth.
All right, Amherst. The village of Amherst has an advisory referendum asking residents if they want to repair the dam or drain the lake that the village was built around. It's got a lot of interest in central Wisconsin.
All right. Well, after the primary, maybe that'll be water over the dam. We're going to take a break for some news. We'll come back, and we'll talk to some more reporters from around the state. It's the campaign trail. We're on it. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin's fall primary is coming up in less than 2 weeks, August 12th. We're covering that on the campaign trail today. Sean Johnson is with me in the studio, and we have our reporters around the state joining by phone. But before we get back to the campaign trail, Sean, we have kind of breaking news on the decisions that were expected to be handed down today from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Could you quickly update us on that, and then we'll go to Rich Kramer in Eau Claire.
Yeah, you had a few huge decisions that were coming down all in one day today, and they involved challenges to the state's voter ID law, a challenge to Act 10 collective bargaining law, and a challenge to Wisconsin's domestic partnership registry, which was established under Governor Jim Doyle. And in short, the Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld all three laws. So they struck down all the challenges. They had different rationale. You know, just browsing the opinions while we're on the air here, it's hard to tell you exactly what went on, but essentially they found that voter ID was not a substantial enough burden on voters to strike it down. And so they upheld voter ID. Practically speaking, that doesn't matter because voter ID is still on hold in a separate federal lawsuit. So we still don't have voter ID in Wisconsin, but the state challenge to voter ID is now over. The Supreme Court has upheld it in the state challenge. Act 10 is significant because this is basically the end of the road for challenges to the governor's landmark collective bargaining law. So the Supreme Court upheld Act 10 in its entirety. Act 10 has already survived two federal lawsuits, in which it was upheld by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. And so we're here in year four of Governor Walker's first term, and we finally have a period at the end of that sentence, it looks like, in terms of the legal challenges to Act 10. The Domestic Partnership Registry, this is a case that goes way back. This is something that Democrats passed in 2009. And it gives certain rights to same-sex partners, like hospital visitation rights. The challenge by Wisconsin Family Action, a group that supports Wisconsin's gay marriage ban, was that violated the state's constitutional ban on gay marriage. The court said that challenge, basically struck down the challenge, upheld the law, said that they're not substantially similar. So, you know, in sum, again, all three of those laws were upheld by the state Supreme Court today.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Now let's go to Rich Kramer in Eau Claire. Rich, good morning.
Morning, John.
And we have some primaries going on up in the Eau Claire area. Let's talk about those for a moment.
Sure. We've got a number of them. One of the busiest is the 87th Assembly District. That's Republican Mary Williams' seat. She's retiring from the legislature. She's held that seat since 2002. Pretty safe for Republicans, but there are four of them that are going up against each other. First, we've got Cheryl LaBarre. She's from Hayward. She's a small business owner up there. She's run before. She ran for the 74th Assembly District up in your neck of the woods. Back in 2010, she lost to Janet Bewley by 1,300 votes. She also has some name recognition because she started some talk and filed some paperwork, I believe, to try to recall State Senator Bob Jouk, a Democrat from Poplar, but that never really came through. She's up against Michael Bubb. He's from Medford. He's a former president of the Medford School Board and currently a city council member. Doesn't look like he's run for anything before. Scott Noble is another Republican from Westboro. That's his official address, though some of the people competing against him in the primary say that he lives elsewhere. But nonetheless, he's a social worker and former alderman from Marshfield City Council. Then you've got James Edming, who goes by the nickname Jimmy Boy, lives in Medford, small business owner. He's run before, also served on the Rusk County Board, and sits on the hospital board there in Rusk County right now. And there, whoever wins that race is going up against Democrat Richard Pulcher, but it doesn't look like the Democrats going to have a great chance. They're going to have an uphill battle because Mary Williams last re-won her seat or was reelected with 60% to 40% mm-hmm. for the Democrat.
Okay, and there's also a state Senate primary up in your neck of the woods as well.
That is correct. Well, there are a few, but we've got the 31st, or actually this is the only primary, but we've got a few state Senate races. 31st State Senate, that's held by Kathleen Beinhout. She's pretty well known in the district and in the area. She ran for governor back in 2012 during the recall, but she only got 4%. But the Republicans that are looking to unseat her, Mel Pittman is a Republican from Plum City. He's a dairy farmer for like 30 years, former Pierce County board member. Don't know a whole lot about him. Doesn't look like he's run for anything before. He faces off against Bill Ingram, who has run before. He's from Durand, the truck driver from Durand, announced for governor in 2010, never actually got on the ballot, though. And he did run against Democrat Chris Dano in 2010 in the 31st Assembly District.
You also have a primary in the 75th Assembly District up there, too, on the Republican side, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. And this one's kind of interesting because this is a seat that was meant for Republicans. After the voting lines were redrawn, this was a pretty safe district for Republicans. The person who lost the seat was Roger Rivard, and he made a pretty famous comment that made national news, and that really, I think, cost him the election. But he was telling a story about how his dad said something about some girls rape easy, and the Democrats snatched that up, and they beat him on it. Now Stephen Smith is the Democrat in that seat. Well, the Republicans want it back. They've got two candidates. Ken Manley is a retired military a guy who's now a pastor in Turtle Lake, and he's up against a young buck, Romaine Quinn, 24-year-old. He was the youngest person ever elected mayor in Rice Lake. He's also got some name recognition in the area. His father owns a favorite local watering hole. So, and as far as money, Quinn is ahead, but we'll see what happens in about a week.
Okay, Rich, thanks a lot for the report. Appreciate it. We'll go next to the Cooley region. Maureen McCollum is WPR's reporter in La Crosse. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So there are some primaries in your neck of the woods, including one for 3rd District Congress.
That's correct. There are three Republicans who are trying to unseat Democratic Congressman Ron Kind. Ron is a native from La Crosse. He's held the seat for 18 years and has held it pretty strongly. You know, depends on the election each year. But the three Republicans, I'll go down the list here. First one, Tony Kurtz. He's served in the Army for 20 years. He retired from the Army and now owns a small organic farm at his home in Prairie du Chien. Then there's Karen Mueller, who she's an attorney who lived in Eau Claire for many years. Now she's living in Chippewa Falls. She's a bit more of a social conservative. And Ken Van Doren is a retired contractor and a former Mauston City Council member. All three of them, you know, they have the same views on a number of issues, but of course stray here and there. It seems like the Affordable Care Act may be one of the biggest issues that voters may be paying attention to in the primary. All three of the Republicans are calling for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, but of course they have kind of different ideas as to how the federal government should or could restructure any sort of health care program.
And as you mentioned,
we have another. Go ahead.
Well, as you mentioned, the winner there runs against a U.S. Representative Ron Kind, and that district was redrawn, and it looks pretty heavily Democratic, doesn't it?
It does. There are a number of the larger cities in this area, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Platteville, Stevens Point, all university towns. The Republicans do have a bit of an uphill battle, but they're doing well with fundraising, and, you know, it all comes down to who shows up at the polls.
And then in the 17th State Senate District, Republican Dale Schultz not seeking reelection, and so there's a primary there. Tell us quickly about that.
So Dale Schultz, after serving in the Senate seat for 23 years, decided he was not going to run. Many people may remember him as this moderate Republican who didn't always toe the party line. He voted against Act 10. He voted against the mining bill. This race could be very important for Democrats because it could be one of their only chances at controlling the Senate. They need to grab a couple more Senate seats. But there are two Democrats running for in this primary. We have Ernie Whitwer, who lives in the town of Willow. He's worked in state government for much of his life. He's the former budget director for the State Department of Transportation, worked with UW-Madison and their transportation center for a bit. And then there's also Pat Bomhack, who is an attorney from Spring Green. He was also a staffer for Russ Feingold and Jim Doyle back in the day. But he's been endorsed by Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson. Seems like the main issues that they're hearing from their constituents in that area is rural education and changing the fair funding formula, and also the issue of Fraxium mining is slowly creeping down into that area of southwest Wisconsin.
Okay, Maureen, thanks a lot for joining me this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Maureen McCollum is WPR's reporter in La Crosse. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll head over to Green Bay and hear from Patty Murray, our reporter over there. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We're on the campaign trail this morning. Sean Johnson is with me in the studio. He's Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we're talking to Wisconsin Public Radio reporters around the state about primaries coming up in the August 12th the August 12th primary. Not too redundant or anything. By the way, next week, Joy Cardine and Central Times' Rob Ferret will interview candidates for statewide office in advance of that August 12th primary. And you can find election information and archived interviews on wisconsinvote.org. Okay, let's go to Green Bay. Patty Murray is with us this morning. Patty, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a primary there in the 6th Congressional District. Who's running?
Yeah, the 6th Congressional District doesn't cover Green Bay. That's the 8th. The 6th Congressional District covers much of East Central Wisconsin. We've got Glenn Grossman. He has been representing the state 20th Senate District. That's kind of the West Bend area. Then we have Joe Libum. He represents the 9th State Senate District. That's the Sheboygan area. And then we have Dewey Strobel. He is from the 60th Assembly District. That's kind of Port Washington, Cedarburg. So we have three current state lawmakers who are looking to move up to the federal level. And then the fourth is Tom Dienow. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. There was a debate in Fond du Lac that I went to on Tuesday night, and Dienow didn't show up. There's kind of some questions about how serious he really is about this campaign. And he, I believe, is a former technical college teacher. So he's the only one out of those four Republicans who has not held elected office.
And, of course, this is the race to replace Republican U.S. Representative Tom Petri, who's not seeking reelection.
He has represented that district for something like 35 years, and he announced earlier this year that he would not be seeking reelection. So, I mean, he's pretty much run unopposed for years and years now, and that kind of makes the 6th Congressional District one of arguably the most competitive races in Wisconsin in terms of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Patty, thanks a lot for the report. I really appreciate it.
Okay, that's all you need to know.
Yep, that's it. Patty Murray, our WPR's reporter in Green Bay. She's covering that 6th congressional race over in that neck of the woods. Let's go now to Milwaukee, where Chuck Quirnbach is on the line. Chuck is our reporter in Milwaukee. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning.
So a bunch of primaries for congressional races in your neck of the woods. Let's hear about them.
Well, that's right. In the 1st congressional district, roughly Kenosha over to Janesville and up a ways, in the GOP, there is a primary, and both candidates have the last name of Ryan. And, of course, the incumbent is Paul Ryan, a longtime congressman and 2012 vice presidential candidate for the GOP. He's being faced by Jeremy Ryan, who is best known perhaps for his state capitol protests. He uses a Segway, a little motorized device to get around, or electronic device to get around, and is a protester best known, as I say, with his Capitol protests. He's running on a campaign that includes legalizing marijuana. Paul Ryan has been taking to the national airwaves lately with his comments about poverty and other issues, and it's not expected to be a close race there, but it is interesting, especially for the people with both having the same last name.
Right. That no possibility of any confusion there, though, right?
Well, you know, people are just Paul versus Jeremy, I think, is one another way to put it.
Okay. What about on the Democratic side?
Yeah, the Democratic side, it's Rob Zurbon, who came relatively close to Ryan, Paul Ryan, 2 years ago. Zurbon is running again, and he is being faced by Amar Kalika. Kalika is one of the sons of one of the people who died in the Sikh temple shootings 2 years ago now. Zurbon has got a network of supporters, has a track record in the area, and is generally considered stronger candidate, at least having a more developed network of people. Kalika has been active as well, has been out campaigning. Yesterday was out at a news conference in Santa Monica, California, and also a fundraiser. The news conference was regarding gun violence. One of his main campaign planks is to get universal background checks, and he is, as I say, referring often to the tragedy 2 years ago at the Sikh temple. Both of those two races in the first, it would seem the challenge, newcomers have a less developed campaign network, a bit less money than Zurbon or Paul Ryan. But in these low turnout elections, isn't quite sure what will happen.
Sure. And then you also have the 4th congressional district there with primaries on both the Democrat and Republican sides.
Well, right. I've especially been following the Democratic side, where the incumbent Gwen Moore is being faced by Gary George. George, of course, a longtime state legislator, very powerful state legislator. I ran into some legal problems about 12 years ago, served time in a lockup, and is back out and has regained his law license and is out campaigning, doing a lot of walking in the district, producing YouTube videos and so on. Gwen Moore, also out campaigning, bringing in colleagues like Representative Maxine Waters. Congressman Keith Ellison, coming from Minnesota, is coming in soon. It would also appear to be another case of the incumbent having a more established network of people, having a broader support, but Senator George, or former Senator George, is out campaigning, mainly raising the issue of jobs, that Representative Moore, alleging that Representative Moore have not done enough to create jobs, especially in minority areas of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm.
And on the GOP side?
Well, it's going to be, I don't know. It's Dan Searing and someone else, quite frankly. It's a safe seat for the Democrats. Moore is, if she wins the primary, would be expected to win easily in November. If for some reason Senator George would win the Democratic primary, then things could be a lot closer, but this is a long-time Democratic seat.
Okay. Chuck, thanks so much for giving us that update this morning. Appreciate
it. Sure.
Okay.
Chuck Quirnbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee. And now, Sean, we will bookend the show with you because there are some primaries in your area as well down near Madison.
I got to say I'm traveling a little bit outside of Madison, but the primary in the Racine area for the 21st State Senate District is pretty fascinating for people that just enjoy political sport, I guess. This is a district that was always a swing district in the legislature, practically 50-50 for many years. It would flip back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, and in some ways it decided who was going to control the legislature. When Republicans redrew the map, they made this seat a very safe Republican district. They made another seat very safe Democratic. And so now you're seeing a primary there for the 21st between Van Wongard, who held it for a couple of years before he was recalled from office, and Jonathan Stites, who's challenging Wongard. And you got to remember, Wongard was recalled, you know, you could tack any number of reasons on it, but essentially they ran against him in the recall for being more conservative than he said he was going to be when he initially ran for office. Well, he's basically being attacked as a liberal in this race by the Jonathan Stites. And it just goes back to the makeup of the district. This is very Republican district, and so they are trying to out-conservative each other in that district. You know, if you look at the platform of these two candidates, it's maybe, you know, this is up for debate, but on a lot of the bigger issues, they're not terribly far apart. But Stites supporters say, you know, he's by far the more conservative of the two. And so Wongard is really trying to rally the Republican Party leadership to get behind him and support his race. I think he probably didn't expect he was going to have this much trouble when he lost his seat in the recall, but you know, he's finding it now.
Okay, and then there is a Democratic candidate running, but you don't give that individual a real good chance based on how the district was redrawn.
Yeah, I mean, just practically speaking, this is a Republican seat, and it could be that Randy Bryce has some opportunities for him because you know, of how far right the primary has gone, but I think just by the numbers, it's you know, the winner of this primary is going to take that seat. And so you're going to head into the November election with Republicans, because they're going to likely take this. You kind of got to look at their majority. Instead of 18-15, is 19-14. And so Democrats have to flip three seats if they want to take the Senate. They have a few they've identified. They have a plausible case to make in each of those races. They're open seats. They are, you know, decent by the numbers for Democrats, though they're not great in a couple of them. And so that's really where the battle for the Senate is going to be waged, in just in, you know, three seats this fall.
And not likely that the Assembly will change from Republican to Democratic control, given the margins.
No, I mean, you would have to have just a monumental Democratic wave year for that to happen. Not only do Republicans have a big edge there in terms of numbers, in terms of fundraising, they drew the map. So this is their playing field, and they're, you know, in very good
shape. All right, Sean, thank you. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. We heard from a whole bunch of other Wisconsin Public Radio reporters this morning as well. Thanks to them for getting up early. Bill Martin's produced this hour of programming. Justin Williams handled on-air production. Christy Taylor was my director. I'm John Munson, and for Joy Cardine, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.